Hello and welcome back again to the Football Index podcast. I think this is episode 29 already, and I'm joined by our Football Index. You may know him from his quite funny memes all over Twitter, but he goes by Mark, and we actually met at the Football Index Trader Meet in Birmingham yesterday for the first time, and we had a chat, and he said, you know what, if you want me to come onto the pod tomorrow, then I'd be really happy to do so and kind of do a little review of the Trader Meet and kind of talk about how it can impact the index. So how are you doing, Mark, and how have you been the last few months on the index?
Yeah, very good. Index wise again, also very good. Taking advantage of that sweet deposit bonus for attending the meet yesterday. So I'm based around in Surrey, so it's quite a trek up to Birmingham, but I considered it was worth it for that bonus, really. And it was good to see meet yourself for the first time and a couple of the other guys that we kind of chat to on over Twitter quite a bit. So that was good.
Yeah, it was really good putting faces to Twitter handles. I think Tool Bob FI, I think that's what he goes by. He said everyone should have had name tags on, which might have actually been a decent idea, because I certainly would have gone up to people and been like, oh yeah, like we've had a chat before, but it was more a lot of people coming up to me and I was like, hello, and then they'd say their Twitter handle and they'd be like, oh yeah, we've had loads of chats. Like it was a really strange situation for everyone, I think, but it was good fun. I really enjoyed it. I wish I was there for a bit longer, but I was really in a big rush to catch the train home, and I think you floored it home to try and catch the boxing anyway. But lots of interesting things happened during the Trader Meet announcement wise. I think Dion Dublin was actually quite good on the panel, or whatever you want to call it.
Actually quite enjoyed it. Obviously I didn't go to Manchester. I saw clips from Gary Pallister's interview. I went to the London Trader Meet and had Lex Van Dam's interesting presentation, which I wasn't too fond of. But yeah, Dion Dublin was very good. I mean, it sounds like he knows about the product. He uses the product, and he was a sound bloke.
Yeah, I hope they get him on to kind of like some sort of ambassadorial role for the near future, because I think that would be quite good to have someone with a big Twitter presence using the index. I know we have Ben Dinnery, we have Ben Jones-Bishop, the rugby player that I had on the pod at one point, and then there are a few others who have big Twitter audiences, but someone like Dion Dublin would certainly give the product even more credibility, I think. He's a good bloke, and I had a chat with him afterwards as well, but we'll get right into it. And one of the biggest pieces of news from the Trader Meet was obviously the World Cup announcement and how that's actually going to work. The 100k giveaway is obviously what I'm talking about, and I'll just rattle through it a bit. There's four £2,500 prices, four £5,000 prices, then five or six £10,000 prices, and 10 £1,000 prizes, and those are going to be awarded between the 26th of June, 16th of July. So that's between the conclusion of Group A and B all the way up to the World Cup final. There's going to be prizes to be won every single day, and all you have to do is spend a minimum of £100 on futures the day before each of these events. So the first award will be of £2,500 on the 26th of June, and that'll be after the conclusion of Group A and B. So on the 25th, the day before, you will have to spend at least £100 on futures. So I think there's going to be quite a few deposits for this one. What do you think, Art?
Yeah, definitely. The sums of money are huge, and yeah, especially after the quarterfinals, where it's there's a prize of £10,000 to the winner of the sweepstake. It's definitely life-changing, sums of money that they're handing out. So yeah, definitely worth getting involved in trading just to get an entry into the sweepstake, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot, sorry to cut you off, but a lot of people were quite disappointed with the PB that was on offer for the World Cup. I think this might make it slightly more exciting, don't you agree?
Yeah, potentially. The only kind of reservation I have with it, as much of a reservation you can have for, potential free lump sums of money to be given to yourself. The only reservation that I would have from, with putting myself in the index's shoes is that, if you award someone £10,000 as a prize, are they going to see that reinvested into their product, or is that money that, you know, just leaves the market completely? Whereas something, if they did something like around the PB, so, you know, potentially even doubled it just for the World Cup, I don't know how much that would cost them, whether that would cost them, you know, more or less than the 100,000 that they're giving away in total. But it might have been more, you know, it might have been better for them as a market and their product potentially.
Well, it says any monetary sums will be paid out in cash, so you'd be actually paid out in cash, which is, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it means that if it goes straight to your bank account, there might be less of a chance that you put it right back into the index, right?
Yeah, even more so. But I was just thinking, if, you know, if I get, you know, £10,000 put into my index account for winning it, with, you know, I'm just thinking what would I do with it? Obviously, I'm a big user of the index. You know, I want to put as much sort of spare cash as I can into it, because it's such a great product, and I think a lot of people are the same. But, you know, is everyone like me? I don't know. You know, you could be, you know, playing around with quite a small portfolio, and all of a sudden you've won £10,000. Are you gonna put it back into the index, or are you just gonna use it for, you know, the life-changing sum of money it is, really?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think that if 10 grand went into my bank account, I'd be hesitant to put it all into the index, I can't lie. One thing I would say, though, is, are we looking at this, or our football index rather, looking at this as like short-term gain, rather than using that 100 grand to maybe, I don't know, develop the Android app faster? Like, would that stand them in better stead long-term, or medium to long-term, rather than kind of this short-term euphoric buzz of giving away 100 grand to people using the index?
I think the key thing around this would be, you know, how they get the word sort of out there for it, because there's obviously a huge amount of money, a huge giveaway. It's, you know, it's brilliant. It's excellent competition and huge prizes to be had, and it would only, you know, work for them, I think, if they really got the word out there and made sure that, you know, everyone was aware of this, and get more sign-ups, you know, because of it, and because of the chance of, you know, winning this type of money. It'd be good to see it incorporated somehow into a lot of the advertising that they were also talking about at this trader meet. It'd be good to have that messaging on there as well.
Yeah, I think obviously that the World Cup is a massive opportunity for them, and if people from the outside in see that you know, people are making absurd amounts of money during the World Cup, whether that be directly from the index or these kind of prize draws, it's obviously going to kind of draw people in, isn't it? So from that perspective, I guess it's good. On the other hand, I do really think that something like a properly developed Android app would probably be better overall than giving away 100 grand in cash prizes. I mean, I saw a few traders yesterday using the website app, like yourself and SG, because you don't have an iPhone, and I just think that's just not right, really, is it?
Yeah, I mean, especially because all of their adverts that they're putting out there have the Google Play logo on it, and to say that you can download it for Androids, which is obviously not true at the moment, which is that's not great. But yeah, I don't know what they didn't mention the Android app, and it wasn't a question at the trader meet, and I don't know if anyone asked any of the guys afterwards or not around it. But it was two trader meets ago they mentioned it, that it was coming soon, and we're still kind of waiting the Android users. I mean, I don't particularly mind using the website on the phone. It's not bad at all. I did prefer the app when there was an app, but yeah, it doesn't make too much of an issue for me. I'm not as kind of militant about getting answers around it, but it does sound like they're potentially having some trouble with it at the moment, because yeah, it's been quite a delay.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they do get that sorted quite soon, because I was speaking to SG, and he was talking about how it's definitely more than 5% of users out there who actually use Android who are on Football Index. So I think it's a shame if those people with Android phones just don't have the same accessibility to the product as people with iPhones. I just think it's kind of unfair. And I think, I don't know how true this is, but someone put out a stat about how how many people in Sweden use Android phones. And it was quite surprising. I think the stat was like 30, 40, 50%. So, you know, I think they have to start looking at this worldwide rather than just UK based as they get, you know, as they start internationally expanding.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, the World Cup competition is going to be really interesting because, I mean, someone asked at the trader meet what kind of happens next season, like next summer. Obviously, they weren't here last summer when there was kind of like a bloodbath after the season ended and people kind of started figuring out that, you know, if you hold a Harry Kane for 3 months, he's actually not going to return anything over the summer. Whereas this season with the World Cup, there's going to be less of that. It might only be 1 to 1.5 months time that some of these players just have no value. Well, next summer, apparently there's going to be this like Nations Cup thing that I think Mike, the head of marketing at Football Index, was mentioning. So I think next summer, as well as, you know, the obvious pull of the transfer window and how much volume goes into that trading, there's going to be this kind of nations competition where they aren't actually friendlies matches, which don't really mean much. There's going to be another competition, which is not like a mini World Cup, but it's still going to mean a little bit. And they're going to probably have PB for that by the sounds of it. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guy referred to it as like a Champions League for internationals, which I think might be a little bit overselling it a bit. But yeah, it's. I mean, he obviously shouted that out, so it does seem like they've got that in their minds for something next summer as well. So yeah, it could be interesting. And I think actually that I was discussing it with DNA at the meet as well. I think that, you know, it's actually probably better for Football Index and from their perspective to have more days of PB than it is for, you know, having treble media, because the treble media is a very small pool and it's quite a bit of money that gets paid out on those days. So I think the more opportunities they have to incorporate PB and do that, they'll definitely go for it, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I said on a podcast with the Footy Index LDN about how the actual like European and World Cup qualifiers should count for PB as well. I said cup games as well, they should be incorporated. There's no reason not to. I think the reason I think cup games should be because you have certain players that obviously only play in the cup games, and that will give them a bit of value as well. Just like we've seen Europa League players and Champions League players get massive rises just because they're in these competitions, and I don't know, certain players have performed really well in the Europa League and the Champions League, but not particularly in their league games. I mean, obviously Cristiano Ronaldo is the obvious example here. I know Reece Nelson played quite a lot of games for Arsenal in the Europa League, and you've got a player like, I know, Olivier Giroud, who played a lot for Arsenal in the Europa League before he left Chelsea, and now he played quite a lot of cup games for Chelsea since he's been there. So it is kind of a shame that those players don't get rewarded for good performances in those cup competitions and those internationals. I just think that, as you said, the more chance of them incorporating PB, the more they're going to do it, because it makes more sense for them from a business standpoint.
Definitely. And I think it makes it more interesting. I think a lot of us were sort of saying during the last international break that where there was no PB, it kind of got a little bit boring, I guess, in terms of Football Index. I'm not a massive sort of hunter of, you know, PB dividends myself, but I'd agree with that. It was kind of, there's less to check on the index when it comes to, you know, days where there's not PB as well. So I think it kind of makes sense all round to take as much opportunity as you can to incorporate PB. So yeah, things like that, this International Cup and like you said, cup matches as well. They might as well do it, and yeah, like you say, it gives more value to the kind of fringe players that play in these cup competitions. So like you say, if, you know, someone like Reece Nelson, who's only really going to play in the cup games for Arsenal, barring, you know, an injury crisis, then if you think Arsenal are going to go quite far in a domestic cup, he you know, his value is substantially more than it would be without PB for those games. So yeah, definitely a good idea from both sides, I think.
I think 100% you're right there about the youngsters and fringe players, because some of these players, to a lot of people, are completely overinflated, right? You're talking about some of these youngsters, £2 to £3 without ever you know, really setting foot on a pitch or a PB pitch, so to speak. But if some of these players have opportunities to win PB in these cup competitions, then suddenly their downside is less and suddenly people feel more comfortable holding them. And it means that their upsides are greater, and it probably causes less massive crashes in some of these young players that we've already seen and we may see in the future. And it may scare less people off. And that's kind of what we want, right? We want less people to kind of invest in a Reece Nelson, and then he signs a new contract or the season ends and suddenly you realize that they don't really have value for 3 months, and then they fall. And these people are just like, well, I've lost 30 quid. I don't really want to continue on the index. Maybe some of these incorporations, whether it be like an under 17s international tournament or under 18s. I mean, like there was a lot of a hype over the England under 19s or under 17s, was it, that they won the World Cup, or under 18s?
One of them, yeah.
I think it was under 18s. But there were players like Callum Hudson-Odoi, Reece Nelson, who played really well, obviously Rhian Brewster as well, who had great tournaments, but you know, none of them won any media buzz, even though the media was talking about them a lot. And of course there was no PB available, so maybe just incorporating as many of these tournaments would be a good move from them, because as you said, the international break just got quite stale for me. I was checking the index maybe once every 2 or 3 days at one point, and like whilst I don't want to be checking it every hour, is it exciting when you're at home and you're watching football, like you're watching a cup game, to have that aspect, especially if you don't support either team, that you actually have an affinity to either side because of these PB players, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, as I say, it'd be a good move all round for Football Index, for, you know, liquidity and the general trading that would go on, and also the fact that they're sort of moving away from you know, the media buzz, which is, you know, as you say, it's a little bit predictable, and you know, a small player pool that can win it. So it makes sense from their standpoint, and from a user standpoint, it's a bit more exciting as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something they should definitely consider, because these triple MBDAs, especially with the limited pool, I know a lot of the big users love it because it's kind of guaranteed money, but we have to think about the longevity of the index and the product and how many new users we have with smaller portfolios, and we've got to think about them as well, right? Well, we'll go on to the next order of business, and that is order books. And that was probably the most exciting thing for me that was raised during the trader meet. So first of all, Mark, do you want to kind of explain and give an overview of how an order book works, and then we can kind of discuss how it will affect the index?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting, really. I was sort of listened to what they said and was thinking about it. I'm still not kind of 100% sure how they would, you know, go about implementing it, but essentially I think he said, you know, talking about order books in terms of putting in, you know, buy orders and sell orders. So say you wanted, say if you thought to yourself, okay, if, you know, Harry Kane, for example, if he ever drops to, you know, £8 exactly, I'd quite like to pick some up, rather than, you know, keep checking the index, keep checking Harry Kane's price and using the watch list that works sometimes and doesn't work sometimes. You could literally just put an order in, say, you know, if Harry Kane reaches £8 for whatever reason, buy me 100 futures, and it would do so, you know, obviously assuming that you have enough money in your wallet. It would make that purchase on your behalf whenever that trigger is met. And same for a sell order as well. If you're holding a player and you think, okay, well, if he gets to, you know, £3 from the £2 that I bought him at, I'd quite like to cash in on that, and rather than, you know, having to be there at the time that happens, you can put a sell order in to say, when he reaches £3, sell my futures in that player. That's how I kind of understood what they were kind of saying. I don't know if you had the same thoughts around it from what they were saying.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be something like that, something like you've just explained. I am really interested to see if they're going to make it blind or transparent. Like if you've ever used Betfair Exchange, you can see the odds that people have placed. And if you've ever used like a traditional exchange or stock market exchange, you can see the order books and you can see what price people are trying to purchase players at. I think that could actually be negative for the index, because say as if you said you've got a Harry Kane and you want to sell at £10.25, right? He's what, like £9.25 now or something like that. So you want to sell in a pound's time. Well, if you put a big sell order in and you have, say, 500 to 1,000 of them, you put a big sell order in at £10.25. When going to purchase a Harry Kane, if you're another user, you suddenly start looking at that sell order book and you say, well, if I'm buying here and there's a lot of people selling at 10.25, how on earth is he going to get past 10.25 unless he does something miraculous during the World Cup or gets a transfer to Manchester United? And suddenly people start looking at those order books and say, well, you know what? Am I going to purchase Harry Kane for a pound rise? And then people start shifting at 10.25 to 10.50. Or am I just going to look elsewhere? And I think maybe it might be better to have it like as a blind order book rather than a transparent one, because I don't know. I just think that like if you do have sell orders and buy orders, then maybe the experienced traders will create big buy order walls below their current buy price, and it might just make it harder for new users. And we want this product to be as accessible as possible. I think the reserve price function on the index has obviously failed miserably, because basically if you've ever looked at it, after you sell one of the player, the reserve price just becomes nullified and the rest of your sell order goes at the price that is listed to the current market, if that makes sense. So I think the buy and sell order books will work to some extent, but I don't know if it should be transparent like they are on Betfair Exchange. I'm also like kind of conscious that they want more peer-to-peer trading, because they don't want to spend money buying players off us, if that makes sense, with instant sell. So I don't know. I think for sure there's an argument to be had on either side, whether or not this should be a transparent order book or whether it should be blind. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I think it just kind of remains to be seen what their plans are, really, because the way that they were presenting it at the trader meet, I think Adam did say, actually mentioned the words, you know, having it more transparent by doing that. So I think it sounds like they're thinking about, you know, having it, you know, as like a Betfair Exchange is kind of how I had it in my head. But then
sorry mate. Go on, sorry.
So yeah, the fuck's sake. So yeah, the Betfair Exchange, that's how I kind of pictured it in my head. But then, you know, it just raises more questions about you know, at the moment, say if someone buys, you know, 100 futures in Neymar at his current price, assuming there isn't a sell queue, it creates another 100 futures in the pool, so to speak. So I don't know how that would work if it was fully it was a full exchange. So I think they'd still have to, you know, offer their own prices, and I don't know how that works or whether that would be the case or anything like that. So I think it's kind of wait and see on this one, but it does sound like they're looking to kind of develop the product into something that it is more than it is now, which is a good thing.
I think this is going to be the biggest move since the implementation of Instant Sell in terms of the actual use of the platform and development of the product. And I really do urge the guys at Football Index to put it into kind of alpha and then beta, hand it out to some users and let them give their feedback on it, because I think, like, basically you don't want to roll this thing out and then it's too hard to unroll it out, if that makes sense, if it doesn't work properly. If you find that it could limit liquidity and limit trading because people are just kind of just putting loads of sell orders and buy orders in and just sitting on their hands after that, which I guess they want people to be more comfortable with the index and kind of not having to wake up overnight, and then if you're, I don't know, in Canada when that opens up and finding that someone's had a horrific injury. And just a little bit on injuries, like the buy order sell order stuff could work really well, but be a real shame if you had a buy order set for a player who then breaks his leg, right, and they fall drastically and you suddenly have a lot of this player who you thought would never get down to this price but has done because he's broken his leg and is quite badly injured.
Yeah, and I think that would be the risk of it. So I think if you're putting these orders in, you do need to be aware that you know, that could potentially happen. So whether that would, you know, deter too many people or not would be a different story. But I think I've kind of asked them in the past about buy and sell orders, because I thought that would be a good idea to have that. But obviously, whenever they've talked about it in the past, they've talked about the complications with it that are there, and they would have to work it out. So it sounds like they're thinking about it, and hopefully whatever they decide to do, they, like you say, they will put it into sort of extensive testing, just to make sure that it does work, and it works for both them and us as traders, really.
It's certainly interesting to kind of see what's going to happen with this buy order sell order book, and I know a lot of people have been calling it for quite a while, and yourself being one of those people. So it's going to be interesting to see how they implement it and how it affects trading volume on the index and whether it just makes the product better or not. So I think that one is kind of a wait and see. But we'll move on to the next bit that I've had written down here, and that's the footy. And obviously I asked this question, if anyone was listening to the live stream, on the Facebook live stream, I asked the question, like, what is the footy? Can you explain it? And we kind of got like two separate answers, didn't we?
Yeah, it was even more confusing after you asked that question, I think. Because there's different ways of that I've understood it, and then I've been told, certain other ways that it's worked out. But essentially, you asked the question, Adam Cole said it was the market cap, so the sum of the market. Essentially, and then the sort of master of ceremonies then elaborated on that to say it's essentially buys minus sells, which then
and by that we obviously mean Mike, the head of marketing, who's done a stellar job on that end, and we'll get onto the advertising campaign in a bit.
Yeah, so Mike, sorry, yeah, I don't know his name. He said it was it's buys minus sells, which kind of in my mind anyway contradicts the previous point that Adam had made, because buys minus sells could be made to market, they could be made at a huge IS spread, so that they would surely give different values in my mind. So I think yourself suggested that it should literally just be the market cap, the sum of the sum of one future in each share available on the index, and use that instead of the kind of ambiguous footy that we've had since the beginning.
Yeah, certainly. I think I was obviously quite confused by the answer. I think a lot of people in the audience were as well. I went and spoke to Adam after, and I just basically said, look, like, when people are onboarded to this product, they have a lot of what the hell is that questions, right? They have like, what the hell is PB, what the hell is MB, what the hell is IPO, what the hell is this, what the hell is that? So the less of those questions you have, the easier it is to onboard people, right? So if you just scrap the footy, and I know a lot of people have done really nice graphs and lots of nice data with the footy, and I know yourself, you've kind of had your profit chart against the footy, but at some point you must have said to yourself, like, what does this actually mean? And I think a lot of people have found that, and I said to him, look, scrap that, just have two different metrics and barometers, one being how much it costs to buy one of every single player on the index, and obviously that'll be inflated by IPOs, etc., but that's going to happen, and two, maybe more importantly, the average price of every player, like basically the average price of a player on the football index, which I think the guys at Football Index Edge have done quite a good job of showing. I think that as I just said, you want as few questions as you can when onboarding someone. So why on earth would you have this really complex algorithm that they've created to create this number that none of us know what it is? And it started at 1,000. Now it's 18,000. What does that actually mean? Does it mean it's 18 times as big now, or is it like on a linear scale? I don't know. Like, it's a bit strange to me. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah. I mean, I do find it as a kind of good day-to-day sort of barometer for the index. So you see it when the index has a good day, like it did yesterday. I think the footy's up over 300 points today, which is if you track the footy on a daily basis, that is pretty huge. And then when you generally notice that there's a lot of sales going through and a lot of depreciation in the market, then you do see a kind of negative value. So it does give a kind of good feel. But in terms, if you want to get into the exactness of it, and they've attempted to or tried to explain what makes the footy and how it gets there a number of times, and we're still kind of having this conversation where we're still kind of none the wiser, no matter how many times they kind of explain it. So I think a more basic something like you said, a market cap, a more basic value that everyone can just understand easily. It's the sum of one of every single share on the index, and go from there. I think that would probably be, like you say, a better alternative. You can still keep the footy there for the ones that are interested, but like you say, the lesser kind of questions like what is the footy and confusing new users, the better for the product.
I think also, like, if it is buys versus sells, then that doesn't necessarily mean there's more money in the market, right? Because if you, like, after we saw with the Neymar and Kane injuries, a lot of money went out of them and probably went into cheaper players. If you sell 100 Neymars, you can buy like 100 of 10 to 15 different players. So surely that's more buys than sells, but actually the money in the market remains the same. So that's kind of misleading, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a difficult one. I'm not sure how, I'm not sure the perfect way of kind of indicating which way the market is going, which way that is. But it sounds like, when they started, they obviously making it, the football stock market. They used the FTSE, as their kind of barometer. But yeah, I think it's kind of got convoluted, and especially when you have the explanation that it's related to the market cap, but then all of a sudden, last year we went from 200 players on the with value on the index to where we are now, which is a couple of thousand. Is that built into the footy or not? Or how did that work when that happened? So it's all quite confusing.
Yeah, I think I'll end on this segment by saying, if you are listening to the guys at Football Index, just scrap it, I think, and just put out some more simple things that anyone can work out, and you don't need some weird formula to work out, because it doesn't help anyone. It just makes it harder for you guys to onboard people, and I think it just makes it harder for us as experienced traders to explain the product to people, because when someone asks me, I'm just like, well, here's a link to a statement that Adam Cole once made, but we don't actually know what it is. So just scrap it, give us the average price of a player on Football Index, and then how much it costs to buy one of every single player. Okay, moving on, and this is probably what strangely to me is, this is the bit that everyone wants to know about, and that's advertisement. So obviously we had an announcement for it about double-decker buses, extended TalkSport partnership, ITV partnership, and then we had the old, tube adverts continued, lots of advertising going on in the next 3 months from Football Index. So give us a rundown of what you think, or how good do you think this advertisement campaign will be?
Yes, it sounds like they're going in the right direction. So essentially, what they were saying at the meet was, they gave a little sort of history of their advertisement. So they've basically saying that they've been targeting, football fans with, things like the TalkSport radio ads and the ITV sponsoring the ITV highlights of the Europa League and international games. They've been targeting traders by putting adverts in, the City AM. Trading newspaper, and also on tube adverts all around the kind of inner city in London, and now they kind of, it sounds like they want to kind of branch out their kind of target audience for their advertising, to try and get it out there to just the general public rather than targeting those specific markets, which is good news. I can't remember the exact numbers, but yeah, I think it said one in ten buses in central London is going to have Football Index advertising on it, and that's the one in 10 of about, I think you said, 6,000 buses in central London, double-decker buses that they're going to have their advertisements on. So it's going to get out there to a wider audience, but they are going to continue with the TalkSport partnership and the ITV partnership, and there's also the prospect of potentially getting some adverts on Sky, which again is a new audience, and definitely one that would be beneficial, I think, for them to utilize.
Yeah, I definitely do think this is the biggest advertisement push they've had since. I think they've done one kind of every 6 months. It usually goes during January and then during the summer. This one sounds like it's going to be massive, and I do think this wider audience thing kind of, like, it links into what we were saying before. Like, to make this product as accessible as you can, you need to have like less questions asked about it. So, you know, if you're opening this up to the wider public, to people who are less used to, you know, traditional financial instruments or stock markets or exchanges, or they're less used to gambling, then, you know, you want less questions asked. And I think that's why I'd want the footy kind of revamped or just scrapped and then replaced with another metric. But I do think the Sky ads will be quite big, even though it seems like Sky are kind of going downhill from a footballing perspective. They've just lost the La Liga rights as well, which puts into question their credibility from a broadcasting perspective. But I do think that the bus thing is really exciting. Quite looking forward to seeing Football Index out there on double decker buses in central London. But I do think this is really relevant, isn't it? Like, let's have less questions asked, and let's make that onboarding process proper before we open it up to the general public, right?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, like I say, you know, people who probably know about Football Index, it's still kind of people who, you know, are into you know, things like Fantasy Premier League or just football betting in general or trading in general. The general public, I don't think, you know, knows too much about, you know, Football Index. I mean, if I go to, say, my place of work or talk to some of my mates who you know, who I wouldn't have talked to about it directly before and said, do you know what the Football Index is? I don't think any of them would say yes. And I think the more people that kind of would say, oh yeah, I've seen that on advertised on buses, or I've seen that on the TV, and you know, it just opens up those conversations and opens it up to a lot more people to kind of get involved in it.
I totally agree. I think that just building that brand and making it more credible allows that conversation where you tell your friends about it to be a lot easier, because you say, like, oh, like, have you heard about Football Index? And they're like, oh yeah, you're right, yeah, I have seen that, and you're completely right from that perspective, that it's going to be a lot easier to acquire more users, and also it's going to be easier for people to tell their mates about it, which then leads to more acquisitions from a customer perspective. So I think this is great overall, and I do think that they've clearly been experimenting with like Facebook advertising as well, Instagram advertising, Twitter advertising. I think I've noticed there's been like certain weeks where the Twitter following has increased from a community perspective, and then I look over to the Facebook group another week and that's increased by a bit more. So they've clearly been toying with to see with what's best, and I think we have to understand that as well, that like they are still working out the best way to kind of push this from a marketing perspective. I think they've actually done a pretty decent job so far. Mike and the guys at Football Index have pushed this product in a very good way so far. I just think there's that gap, the accessibility point, where, you know, they talked about the academy that they're trying to build, and whether or not that's kind of, I don't know, it's not really in your face. It's kind of hidden towards the left next to the deposit sign. I don't know if it could be some sort of onboarding process. And I know Footy Index LDN mentioned this, where like when you get the app, it kind of gives you a five page storyline that you have to swipe through and then click accept terms and conditions afterwards when you sign up. I think something like that might be better, and then that could also say, look, you know what, you can go over here if you want to learn more. I don't know what you think about the onboarding process and how, when we do get more of these customers, whether or not they need to work harder to make sure that they know what they're doing when they get on the app.
Yeah, I think something like that would be great, actually. A new user, then you have to, you know, go through, you know, a short tutorial. Obviously, you can give them an option to skip it if they, you know, if they know about the index already. But if it, you know, for a new user coming onto it, it could be quite, you know, daunting to kind of look at it and be like, you know, wow, there's a lot of, you know, numbers here, a lot of, you know, a lot of flashes and changes in the figures. You know, how does, there's two separate types of buzz that you could win, two completely separate metrics, and how do they each work, and how much gets paid on a certain day. So there is a lot for a new user to be overwhelmed with, I think. And if they were able to put in, you know, a tutorial which is kind of, you know, semi-mandatory for a new sign up, or just there on the homepage for anyone to kind of refer back to, I think that would be pretty good. That'd be a pretty good idea.
Well, that's all we've got in terms of the trader announcement. But I want to ask you a couple more questions. So where do you see this product in the next year, and what do you think are the main areas that need improvement? Obviously, we've talked about onboarding, we've talked about the Android app, but where else do you think they need to improve?
That's a good question. I think in a year's time, I think obviously the advertising, as we said, is trying to get it out there to the general public. So I do think this product has still got room to grow, with a lot more users, a lot more bits of development. So like the buy and the sell orders, we'll see how that comes about. But yeah, I just think it will just continue to grow. I can't see it, you know, stopping any time yet. In terms of, you know, what else they need to improve, it's quite a hard question. I don't really have any sort of strong opinions on, you know, they should do this, they should do that. I think there's quite a lot of people who would like to see the performance buzz scoring system sort of tweaked a little bit. I think that's quite a good idea. Obviously, I think you talked about it in this podcast sort of a lot with your various guests, and I think there can be some changes that they can make. I think not whole scale, but you know, little tweaks here and there just to make it a little bit, you know, as accurate as possible. And yeah, you know, I understand that's quite hard from a user's perspective and compliance perspective, I guess, because you're kind of moving the goalposts. But I think if it means, you know, getting a better product and more worthy winners of the performance buzzes each time, then I think it's beneficial for everyone. So I think maybe that. Although I'm not too fussed about it personally. I know there's a lot of people who kind of voice that opinion on Twitter and Facebook quite a bit. So I know that's one sort of point that people would like to see, you know, looked at, I think.
Yeah, I do think that it probably needs slight tweaking. I do think I've voiced my opinions on this before, but I think the assist should be given more. I think the passing, this weird thing where a player can make 120 passes and suddenly they're near the top of the PB rankings. I don't know why that makes their performance particularly good. And then you have certain players, I think like ASP was talking about how in the League Cup final, Leroy Sané was absolutely awesome against Arsenal. And I know that we've talked about cup games and how maybe they should be PB eligible, but he was talking about how he wouldn't have even come close, even though he played phenomenally well. So, and I know people talk about like a man of the match bonus or whatever, and how that might be that might be subjective. But you know, if you just, the thing is, if you keep it to one data point or data center, like if you just use Opta as the thing you refer to constantly, they do man of the matches according to their like point scoring algorithm. So why can't Football Index just use that? And I do think that they have to be careful and that they're kind of treading carefully with how many times they can change the terms and conditions. And as you said, how many times can you move the goalpost before this becomes a compliance issue and before someone goes over to the gambling regulators and says, look, you know what, like I signed up for this product and 6 months down the line, it's completely different. But I think like that's also, that might be like an unreasonable thing to do or to view it as, because this is a growing platform and it's going to evolve. Like it, you know, would we be here without instant sell being implemented? Probably not. I know Adam Cole was talking to me about how when he first pitched this idea to regulators, he didn't even have a sell option because he didn't actually pitch it as a gambling product. It was pitched as more of a stock market as per se. But when he realized that, you know, the sell option is actually kind of a cash out version, is parallel to cashing out of a bet, a season long bet, then he realized that, you know, this could actually be a gambling product as well, or instead of a financial instrument. So, you know, they are growing as they go along. It's come from such a small concept, or Adam Cole's concept at one point, to what it is now. It's grown, and, you know, terms and conditions may have to change. The goalposts may have to be widened or heightened or moved slightly for this to become the best product that it can be.
Yeah, I don't think Yeah, I don't think the majority of users would have any issues with that. I think the as long as we were given, you know, enough warning, I do think the next kind of round of T's and C's, maybe they should, you know, put something in there that kind of gives them, you know, a little bit of leeway, which says, you know, every pre-season, at a certain date, you know, whether that's, you know, say, you know, middle of July, they're able to make tweaks to the PB scoring system, as they kind of see fit, really, and that gives them that little bit of, you know, that little bit of leeway that they can do it. And I don't think anyone would have any issues if it was, you know, well communicated that, you know, we're going to give assists, you know, X number of points instead of X number of points, and we're going to sort of take away this kind of meaningless, you know, stat where, you know, if you take a corner, no matter where it goes, you get a certain amount of points. So yeah, I think we'll all be, you know, it'll be better for everyone if, like you say, the players that are clearly the best players on the pitch in terms of Leroy Sané in that cup game are reflected as accurately as possible with data.
Yeah, it's a prevalent point that you just made there about how we want to see the best players actually perform best on the performance buzz scoring matrix, and to some extent they've done that, because like Ronaldo and Messi have won like the most PB, and you know, Neymar's up there as well, so we do have the top players winning. But there are certain players who kind of do really well, but they're not actually performing that well on the pitch, which is what we want to mitigate, or what Football Index you'd think want to mitigate. I mean, there's a couple more things I want to get through, and one of them is how I think they should use traders to kind of develop their product more, like actually get us reviewing your ideas more. I know they've done a couple surveys in the past, and they've done a couple beta launches with certain things they wanted to roll out, but I think they should, don't you think they should use traders who have been on here for a while, or new traders who have just come on to kind of review the product, give their opinions more, and maybe help shape the future of this platform?
Yeah, definitely. I'd quite like to see something like that, whether it's a separate thing to a trader meet or incorporated into it somehow. But yeah, kind of like a workshop where, you know, you kind of get a little seat on their on you know, at their table, so to speak. So they'll say, you know, these are the kind of things, we're the ideas that we're sort of kicking about internally, what do you guys think? And, you know, just have it out with have a discussion with traders. I think that line of communication would benefit them for sure. I don't know what kind of mechanisms they have to gain feedback, but certainly you know, myself, I haven't really, you know, expressed more than I have, you know, with a couple of tweets on Twitter during Q&As. And I think a more sort of constructive discussion with, you know, experienced traders, new traders, the whole spectrum, you know, would be good for them. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, definitely. I think they should have some sort of forum, even if it's like a, so I know they have these trader meets, but why not have a bigger event that they create? And we spoke about this quite briefly yesterday at the trader meet. Why not have bigger events that actually encourage people who aren't on the platform, and there's certain stalls and stuff where, I don't know, like people are handing out merchandise and trying to explain the product to people, trying to acquire new customers. Why not do some of these bigger events, I don't know, once a quarter as well, and try and encourage people to come down, old, new, and people who aren't on it, and then this creates a bigger community feel, but it also, it can help people who don't know about it learn about the product in a physical way, like a face-to-face form. I think like there should be that aspect of it as well, because I mean, I met someone yesterday at the trader meet who didn't know how to download a podcast. He came up to me and said, "Oh, you're the podcast guy. Like I've heard they're quite good. How do I get them on my phone?" And that kind of made me realize that maybe I was a bit naive to realize like there is such a wide range of customer base here. There are people who are very savvy with the internet, people who might not be so savvy. So having all this digital advertising and all this digital media and all the digital onboarding is great, but there is going to be still a small portion of people who just don't understand what's going on because they're just not technically savvy enough. So I think maybe something like that would be quite good. But also I think, and you mentioned this, like how this feedback loop would happen if traders gave their opinions of the product and gave them ideas, and maybe Football Index would rebuttal them with, "Oh, actually we can't do this because of clients, or we can't do this because we're moving into this country and we want to roll out the product as it is before we move in there. Some of that back and forth could be great, but it also could be good for Football Index's transparency. We've talked about this so often on the podcast and on Twitter, and how maybe their communication isn't great, and how they should be more transparent with what's going on. And I think recently they've done that with a few blog posts, right? They've the footy reset to zero. Everyone was like, what's going on? Buzz payouts were delayed, and they've been quite sporadic recently. They were very quick to put something out on that. When that becomes better, and when those posts happen more often, I think we'll see this platform grow more, because I think that transparency issue is still slightly there. But if people are asking, like, why can't we change the performance buzz algorithm? Well, if someone from Football Index actually comes out and says, well, actually, there's actually a limited amount of times we can change our terms and conditions in a year as to our gambling license, then you're just going to have to hold your hands up and say, well, fair enough, mate. Maybe you do want to do it, but you can't right now because of these reasons. And I think when they do start doing that, I think there's going to be more trust built, and I think it's going to be more credible for the brand. And I think this product is going to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, I think on that, you know, something as, you know, small, or, you know, depending on your opinion on it, but something like the Android app that, you know, was apparently coming soon at the start of the year, and now we're sort of heading into the summer, and we're still have the same update. Something like that, as if they were to, you know, give, you know, regular updates on that, and just say, look, we're having these issues. Please bear with us, but at the moment, you know, every time Adam Cole comes onto Twitter to do a Q&A, the first question is, you know, where's the Android app? And you could probably sort of stop a lot of the kind of this kind of what must be annoying sort of restless, you know, users that, you know, constantly bringing up these things about, you know, PB scoring and where's the Android app and what's happened to Bet on Brazil and, you know, all these kind of things that if their communication was, you know, a bit more frequent and more open, then you know, it'd be more understandable, and, you know, it builds up, as you say, that kind of credibility and the trust relationship. Not saying that, you know, they're not credible and I don't trust them, but I think something like that will go a long way for a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, I do think also, like, it doesn't have to be AC who bears the brunt of all this. Like, if you're talking about the Android app, just get one of the technical guys to come out and say, actually, you know what, this is what's happened, this is what we're doing to try and fix it, and this is where when we think we'll finish it. Like, Adam Cole is only going to say what's politically correct, not politically correct, but try and allay some of those fears and kind of uncertainties. But if someone from a technical background who's actually developing this app comes out and says, you know what, like, these are the technical problems we've run through, we didn't expect it to come to take this long, this is our new expected release date, that's done. It's you know, you've nipped it in the bud, and people suddenly say, you know what, fair enough, like, what can you do? Like, it was an unforeseen road bump that we've unfortunately come across. Well, I think we've had enough rants for one day, Mark. So I'm going to let you sign off. Where can people find out more about you and your great memes?
So, yeah, my Football Index Twitter account is r_footballindex. And, yeah, you can find me on there, you know, creating memes and just generally sort of poking fun at everyone, I guess.
Yeah, you've got a really nice chart that you've made for your how much profit you've made on Football Index as well, which I really like, and I try and replicate, but it doesn't really usually work as well, which I get quite annoyed at. Thanks so much for coming on, man. And yeah, if you guys enjoyed this, please do subscribe and please do leave a review. I do love reading them, and they do help me persist with this content because, you know, people say a lot of nice things about them, the content. And if you are looking to kind of own your trading skills a bit more, then have a look at the YouTube channel. 10th episode of the Bank Builder series going out midweek, and then from then on it's going all in to one player, starting with £500, and we'll see how that pans out. Could go back to down to zero, you never know. Yeah, thanks for coming on again, Mark. It was good to meet you at the trader meet, And hopefully the next trader meet we'll be looking back and saying, wow, well, I can't believe we thought we had this many problems, and now look at the product that we've got here today. And sorry again that I didn't get to speak to that many people at the trader meet. Maybe at the next one, which is in London, I believe, during the World Cup, which is kind of where I'm based, I'll be able to stay a bit longer. I'll be able to chat to as many people as possible. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and hope you enjoy your commutes.